Well, it is a blessing to be here with you this morning and just to be able to worship with you as we get our, sorry about all this contraption. You know, there's, I'm sure that Brother Mark here doesn't need to worry about all these things, but you know, some people call me off the wall preacher, and I'm not sure how you want to take that here this morning. But I like to be able to present and be able to also not only be able to see, that you'll see it on screen. Something I found out many years ago, and that is for the fact that there's one thing that your mind, one side of your mind hears and records, and the other side of your mind, actually what you see records it also. So the greatest thing is that when we share the gospel, is to be able to get it in the greatest way. And so I'm grateful this morning just to be here with you and to be able to celebrate. And I had to think of just all the things that went on this morning, you know, just for the fact of you seeing the children with the shoe boxes and them putting that together and just a lot of these things that I'm looking forward to the day here in the next, as some of you know, that we as a family are looking at getting off the road and being a part of a church family, because we have not experienced that in the last 17 years. And so we are looking forward to that coming up this summer. So be in prayer for us. I know some of you read that in the newsletter, but I am grateful that we can be here and a part of you here this morning as you as a family. And I thank you for that. Many things to look at here this morning as we get into God's Word. I know that we could look at a lot of different things as we get into His Word, but that's the blessing of His Word, is for the fact that it's always something fresh, it's always something new for each and every one of us. And you know, you can read it many, many times over and over again, but there's always something fresh that comes from that, and that's what we want to look at here this morning. But before we do that, I'm honored to have my family here, and one of the things they asked me says, "Now, Dad, please don't make us come up and stand up in front of everybody and introduce them." Well, how many of you know I can do that on screen, okay? And so we're gonna save them from having to come forward, but I am proud of my family. I'm proud of my wife that has walked with me throughout these years. I'm proud of each one of my children. And so, you know, like for you grandfathers, you know, you usually have always a picture of your grandbabies in your pocket somewhere, right? Your grandmothers in your purse, you always have. You say, "Man, just check out this here grandbaby. I mean, this is just fresh and new. I mean, this is one of my grandchildren." But how many of you know I'm just as proud of my children right now, and I know I'll even be proud of my grandchildren, I'm sure, too. That kind of seems kind of far away there, but anyway, just to introduce them to you quickly, we have, of course, our oldest daughter, Roxanne. She's 14 and a half years old. We have Richie, which is 12. We have Randall, which is 10, and Renessa, which is 8 years old, and Renessa always says, "Now, Daddy, please do not let out our the one that you see on there, our little dog. Make sure you also introduce her." But her name is Roche. And as you see, they're all named with R's. We couldn't leave anybody out. But it is grateful to be here with you this morning. And as we get into God's Word here this morning, if you have your Bibles, you may want to, I encourage you to take notes. Something that I share with men and ladies as I travel and as I share, it's very important. Anytime you come to God's house, anytime you come and hear someone speak the Word, it's very important that you take note, because it's something that is important is our day and age. As it says many people are going to be sharing the gospel. Many people are going to be sharing, but how many of you, as it was already mentioned in Sunday school, is actually sharing the absolute truth? Amen? And that's very important that we recognize who you follow after and who you listen to is for the fact, does it line up with God's Word? Because if it lines up with God's Word, then we know that it is absolute truth. Amen? Because this is the only absolute we have in our world today. The only absolute, and that is the Word of God that was inspired and was written for each one of us here this morning. And so we're going to look at a few things. And one of the things we're going to look at this morning is, last night we got here about 12:30, and I spent an hour or so just refreshing of what God wanted me to do, share here this morning. And I should never share a message, and I haven't, my prayers, I never will share a message that I thought that somebody here at Life needed to hear. That I thought, well, you know, I'm sure this young man here, what's your name again? Gerald. I thought that, you know, Gerald really needed to hear this message, so I prepared it last night for Gerald. Absolutely not, because any message that God has brought to me, first of all, ministers to my life. It's something there for me. And I, you know, I don't know about you, Mark, but I'm sure, you know, we spend much time and studying God's Word to prepare for a message. And each one of the pastors here spend much time reading His Word, and we only get to share just a very, very little part of it. Amen? And I might have to do even less a little part of it this morning. But anyway, we're going to try to do this quickly. So if you take note, and also also see, but ordinary or extraordinary. How many of you know that I just enjoy being around people that are just extraordinary, amen? I mean, just lively, amen? Young people, you like that? You like hanging around people that are just, you know, just got life to them? That's right, and that's the way it is in all of us. You know, ordinary people, as Christ comes into your life, I had to think of just here this morning, as I came in, and Robin here in the back introduced herself. I had to think back. I mean, I shouldn't say we grew up together. We're in two different towns. She's younger than I am, so I don't want y'all to think that Robin's as old as I am. She may not like that very well. She's younger than I am, but I remember what happened in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, when Jesus Christ came into my life, I wasn't an ordinary person. I became an extraordinary person. And for you here this morning that has accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're an extraordinary person. Why? Because that's who Jesus is. He lives within you, and He wants to be able to flow through you. Amen? So He doesn't want just ordinary Christians. As we think about here in our day and age, we were just out in Colorado, and we think of all different sized churches. You know, we think of these mega churches that are becoming into existence, and how the churches are growing and growing. And even this morning, we see the churches growing here. I'm excited for you. That's awesome. That's great. But how many of you know that even though our churches are growing, how many of you know that our world around us is not changing for the better? And we wonder why. You know, we were just in a church out in Colorado that had over 4,000 members, had over 4,000 people that, I got to plug in here. Yeah, hopefully you are okay with that. Sorry about that. But as you think about this morning, there was over 4,000 people at the service, just the first service, okay? And then we were at the second service, and it was about 4,000 people there also. And just to think of all these people that come together that worship the Lord, but for the fact that are we allowing God to be extraordinary through us, or are we just ordinary? And we're going to look at a few things, and we're going to look at one man in particular, obviously, that is extraordinary, and that's who we are with him within our lives. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Now think about it this morning. Only Jesus Christ, as you see him there on the cross, only a man as Jesus Christ, God himself, could come down here on earth and hang on the cross and be beaten and be taken all our sins and the things of our past and be able to just lay it there on the cross. And he's the only one that could show that much love to every one of us here this morning. And so we know that Jesus was a life of extraordinary. I mean, you could not predict from day to day what Jesus was going to do. I mean, you think about it. You go into the Gospels. Think about if we were hanging out with Jesus through that time. I mean, you would say, well, you know what? Yesterday, he just healed the blind. You would have no clue what he was going to do the next day because you could not predict it. Amen? You could not predict for the fact that here a young man, maybe, how old are you, son? 5 years old. There you go. You remember the story in the Bible where it talks about the boy took his lunch with him and he had, what was it, two fish? Was that right? And some bread? And how God just extraordinarily did something that day, right? So that's who God is. He's extraordinary. And there's no difference in us today. He says he sent his Spirit to live within us that he would do even greater things than he did. Why is it in our world today, in our churches today, why aren't we more as much as extraordinary as Jesus was? He wants to be that way through us. Now let's continue on. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood has made us kings and priests and his God and Father to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now think about it this morning. You know, it would be interesting to hear some things. Just last night, some of the youth were, as we were loading up, some of the youth were sitting in a circle, and they were saying, they were asking each other what was the most embarrassing moments, you know, in their lives. And it was, I didn't get to hear a whole lot of it, but I got sketches of it. And every one of us could say embarrassing moments. But, you know, I don't want to think of embarrassing moments. I want to think of extraordinary moments that God has done through your life. And I would love to be able to just take this, you know, one of these here, these gadgets here, and plug it up to this young man, maybe the big toe or somewhere, and on the screen you would see extraordinary things that God did in his life. Because I'm telling you here this morning, if you have Christ within your life, he is doing extraordinary things if we allow him to. Amen? But it's up to us. It says, do not quench the Spirit. How many of you know, I thought for many years quenching the Spirit was before I accepted Christ. I quenched the Spirit. But I'm telling you, where it says quenching the Spirit, he was talking to us as a church. In that passage, quenching the Spirit was talking to us as the church. He was saying, you, are you quenching the Spirit? Or the Spirit that lives within you, are you allowing it to be extraordinary? Now, I think of, you know, different things, even in my life. I remember the day that I took my training wheels off of my bicycle. Do you have your training wheels off your bicycle? I'll bet you do. What's your name? Matthew. I bet you we'll never forget the day you took them off, right? Yes, it wasn't too long ago, was it? And you think about it, Matthew. Ron was the same way. He was young like you, and Dad says, you know, today would be the day to take off your training wheels. How many of you know I was excited? Amen? And so here we come, and Dad takes this here nut off over here, and off the training wheels come. And here Ron sits on the bike, and here we start pedaling away. And how many of you know I was excited? Amen? I was all on my own. I was pedaling, and I was going places, right? And then there, as we were going out to the barn, there was a place that had a steep hill, and there were some trees down there, and these here trees are fruit trees, and how many of you know that for some reason my bike went that direction? And you know, I like speed, all right? I've always liked speed. I like it to this day, and my wife doesn't understand why, but I enjoy speed, all right? Getting in a car and going from 0 to 60 in a short amount of time, guys, I enjoy that. I love to be on the track. I enjoyed going down the track 200 miles an hour. He says, now Ron, why are you preaching about this? Because God wants to do extraordinary things, even in areas of our lives that he wants to take us places that we have not been to, but we have to allow him to do so in our lives. Now think about it. Going down that little driveway with pedaling, and as I went, and all of a sudden it went to the left. It's okay. As it went over here to the left, and as I was going down, all of a sudden these fig trees were in my face. How many of you know that wasn't a pleasant experience, was it? Them fig trees, I mean, I just plowed right into all those here limbs and everything, and figs were flying everywhere. This is actually a little more my size anyway, so we'll leave it there. I built a little closer to the ground than some people. But, you know, I had to think of this morning how I got up from there. But because of the extraordinary feeling of pedaling all by myself, how many of you know I didn't just stop there? You know, I'm not pedaling no more. I got to put those training wheels back on, but I got back up on the driveway and I pedaled again, all right? And that's just one illustration. Another illustration, you know, that I don't recommend this to anyone, but you know, my sister and I, there was only two of us, and she enjoyed, you know, I was younger than she was, and she was a little more brilliant than I was, and so she would like to try things out on me. And I was just kind of gullible, and I would try things, all right? And I remember, you know, we had these stairs, and then going down into the basement, and she one day says, you know, she says, Ron, you know, this would be the coolest thing. You get in this wash basket, and I'll push you down, and you, I mean, it'd be the greatest slide you've ever had. And I'm like, well, that would just be too cool. Amen. I mean, I got into that wash basket, and I held on, and here I went. How many of you know about the fourth, fifth step down? I was hanging on so tight to the basket that about my third roll upside down, I still had the basket until I landed. Amen. And as I landed, of course, I was, you know, crying, and I was in pain, and all these things, and so I mean, we think of these things and extraordinary things that happen in our lives, but I want us to now page back for the fact of what is God doing extraordinary in your life as fathers, as mothers, as youth. What is God doing extraordinary in your life? He wants to do wonderful things, and he wants to do this because God is a God of extraordinary. That's right. He's not an ordinary God. And now it says this morning, it says, are you living as a saint or a sinner? This is where we find in our lives, in my life, where God really has taken me is for the fact, it says, Ron, when you're ordinary, you're living out of a sinner's mentality. You're living out of a sinner's mentality. Yes, you know you're saved. Yes, you know your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, but you are living as a sinner. You're still trying to merit goodness for your sins that you have committed. In other words, so many times we spend so much time because of our past, and we spend so much time trying to merit good for God's righteousness within us. Amen? And so because of that, we live out of sinner's mentality. But I'm telling you that this morning, we are saints. Now, I'm not going to do this morning. I could have for the very beginning. Of ask how many saints are here this morning, and you'd be surprised how many of us just naturally don't even raise our hand. I mean, I've asked that already, and I won't do that this morning, but it's amazing how many people in the church, well, when I say, how many saints are here with us this morning? Their reflections are right away, their hand wants to go up, and they're like, oh no, I'm not perfect. You know, because we think of being saints, you're being perfect, right? But I'm telling you here this morning, we have to live as saints. Then I ask, are you Christians? All the hands go up. We can identify that we are Christ-like. But I'm telling you this morning, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are a saint. And we have to live as saints. Does that mean we're without fault? Absolutely not. But we have to live in the power that God has given us. You have to think of this, and I always share stories because that's the way I understand things. I like when people tell stories, so I can break it down to my level, all right? But, you know, I had to think about, you know, if I was the son of President Bush this morning, if I was his son, and at any given time in the last 4 years, when I wanted to go to the White House and visit Dad, how many of you know that he obviously, the first thing they do, they give you a badge to wear so that when you come up to the gate, they will be an identification of who you are, right? And right there, it would say Ron Bush on there, and they would right away know because they've been trained that I am George Bush's son, all right? I'm just giving this illustration. So here I have my badge. How many of you know that when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he gave you a badge, amen? And now you are a Christian, amen? You are a saint, amen? Say, I am a saint. Oh, we got to do better than that. I am a saint. Woo, I like that. And then think about it this morning. Because of you as a saint, when I arrive at the White House and I pull up there, and of course you have your guards and you have your security there, and they look through the window and they're like, oh yes, I know who this is. Let's allow him in. And I would go in and I would have the whole, I could go anywhere in the White House. I mean, I could go to anywhere in that building because everywhere there was an officer standing, when he seen my badge, I could just walk right on through, right? I mean, those things would happen. Well, how many of you know the same thing needs to happen in our lives? Because we are saints. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And when we face things in our lives, there's areas we don't want to go because we think we don't have the power to go there. I'm telling you guys, the extraordinary is for the fact that he wants to take you places you have not been, and you do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. Why? Because you are a saint. That's right. God has given you the power, and he lives within you to live through you. Now think about it. Many times, and where this message came from, it's because of my life. I had to think about, here, I could be in the White House. I could be eating the food that they're serving. But where am I at so many times? I'm outside. I'm outside and I'm trimming the hedges. Yeah, I'm the president's son and I'm out there trimming the hedges. I'm sweeping the floors and I'm you know, mowing the grass, and I'm doing these here things, and I'm hoping that my dad's gonna look out the window and say, oh, that's my son down there, and you know, we need to, you know, make sure you go out and serve him. Will you please go out there and let him know that, you know, he's definitely worked for his food today, and have him come in. How many of you know it's so much easier than when I'm asked to come into the White House, and as I step through the doors, I'm like, well, I trimmed the hedges today, and you know, I mowed the yard, and I sit down and I eat, and it's so good, and the people around me, I'm excited about who's around me and all those things. But guess what? It was something that I had to do. It was something that I thought I needed to do. When so many times we are in the lawn, so many times we are out there by the hedges, we are standing out here by the White House steps, when every one of us need to be inside the mansion. Amen? We need to be inside the mansion. How many of you know that as you're standing on the outside, we got to continue here, but as you think about standing on the outside, how many of you know the chances of you getting hurt could be much more on the outside than the inside? Amen? Now, we were at the White House not long ago. When I say not long ago, bear with me, it could have been a couple years, okay? All my times kind of run together, but whenever it was, we were at the White House. And we went, and anywhere you looked, I mean, I love technology, so I like to, you know, see where all the cameras are at, and I like to see what all's going on, and you hear where all the cameras and all the, everywhere everything's happening, and see the men on top of the roof, and all these guys that are protecting everyone. And I'm telling you, the White House is one of the safest places to be at. They have a private tunnel. They have a place that where at any given time, if something would happen, I mean, they would carry the people that are inside down and they would be protected. Matter of fact, they got the Underground Railroad where it's going to take you even to another location. All these things are happening. So inside the White House is the greatest protection place we can be. Amen? How many of you know that too many times in my life, because I am trying to merit, I'm living out of a sinner's mentality, I am standing outside the White House where I could easily get fired at. I mean, these darts will come my way. The enemy is there and says, guess what? Because you're out here, I can take advantage of you and you're going to be afraid. And we just wilt and says, oh, goodness. And then we get plowed over. Why? Because we're not where God intended for us to be. He intends us to be as a saint, living out of a saint's mentality. Now, a saint means a holy believer. We says the church the church of God, which is in Corinth. We can say the church, which is here at Life. To those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ. That's the key word there, sanctified, all right? The only way you're going to be a part of the church of God and be living in a saint's mentality is to be sanctified. See, this already throws a wrench in things because we think, well, being a saint, you have to be perfect. To be a saint, you have to be allowed to be sanctified, amen? Sanctification is something that continues happening in your life. It's not just something that happened when you accepted Christ as your Savior. It's a continuation. My grandfather, we were in New Mexico, and he passed away, and I flew back to Georgia for the funeral, and something that I remember so many times, I'd visit him about twice a year, and he was 97 years old, and he would continue to say, he says, Ron, whatever you do, continue preaching, whatever you do, keep preaching the New Testament. It's about in the New Testament. It's about Jesus, him dying for us, and he says, second of all, Ron, he says, never allow God to quit sanctifying you. He says, God is still sanctifying me at 97 years old. He's still showing me areas that he wants me to surrender. And I'm telling you today, it's for the fact that if you want to be extraordinary, you have to allow God to continue sanctifying you because that's where extraordinary things happen. Now think about it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, we could say here at Life, faithful in Jesus Christ. Think about it. He was on the cross, shed his blood, and this is why we can be saints. Now think about it this morning. Now, for some reason, when I bring the bottle of water out, you know, this here, it's pretty full, right? And I don't know why, I just naturally gravitate over here to the youth because I think they probably have a little more forgiveness than maybe some of us older guys. You know, we're pretty forgiving, amen? And, you know, think about this here water. To be an ordinary person, you know, I can walk around. I can, you know, whatever. And, I mean, nothing spills out. I have the lid off, but nothing spills out, right? But to be extraordinary, how many of you know people get wet, amen? People are affected by that, right? And I do that here this morning is for the fact that when you're an extraordinary people, the people around you, in your church, in your community, the people you work with, it's going to affect their lives also. Amen. See, they're all smiling. They have no one has thrown anything at me. I knew I could do it to them and be forgiven. And thank you. But anyway, I share that with you this morning is for the fact that God expects us to be extraordinary. Now, you know, in Scripture, we can see that obviously God is the one that's extraordinary. And through Him living within us, we will be also if we allow Him to and don't quench. Now, we're going to shift gears here. And we want to go to an illustration that Jesus was also extraordinary, and this is just one example. Jesus has given us many, many examples through His Word, over and over, that applies to us today. I hear some people say, well, you know, Ron, that was 2,000 years ago. It was for their culture. I'm sorry, but it is for us today. Amen? Can you agree with that? Can you say amen? It is for us today. And so think about it this evening. This morning we're going to look at just one area that God was extraordinary. When I say that, He has many, 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 many stories, and that just a few things that are recorded in His life. Very few things, but the few things that we do know was extraordinary. Now, if you will, turn with me to John 13, if you have your Bibles, because we're going to park here for a few minutes, and we're going to look at this here passage, because it's something important here that I want us to grasp here this morning. And you say, well, Ron, why are you going to chapter 13? I know Mark and a couple of the ministers here, like, you know, Ron, I mean, hello, we're not having feet washing this morning. Where are you going with this? I didn't bring our buckets. I didn't, you know, do these things, and I didn't ask you to come, and we had communion and feet washing. I didn't ask you to come and share about this, but I'm telling you, this is an extraordinary passage that just all of a sudden just grabbed me a while back, and as it grabbed me, matter of fact, I was here in Pennsylvania one morning, and it was I was preparing for a message at one of the local churches here in Lancaster, and I don't know, it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I continued seeking God of what to share, and things just didn't, you know, I had this, and I was over here, and I was over there, and I was like, Lord, bring this here together, and as He was bringing it together, He was narrowing it down to this here passage, and I'm like, no, God, I cannot do this. Now, y'all don't argue with God, do you? See, no one argues with God. I knew I was different, but anyway, I sometimes argue with, I need to move here. Life, you don't argue with God. No, I'm just picking. But, you know, there's many times I argue with God. I'm like, God, you know, I'm telling you, you want me to share on feet washing? I mean, God, what are you trying to say here? I mean, they're going to think that I fell off the wagon and bumped my head, you know? And here they, you know, what are they going to say? And so as you think about this morning, why I'm sharing it is because it was something that I needed. It was something that grabbed me. And I know that if it did for my life, there's someone here that it will also grab your life. And it will penetrate, and something extraordinary will happen in your life. And now let's read here. We'll read a couple of verses if you want to follow along. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and going to the Father. Having loved his own who was in the world, he now showed them to the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. I have set an example, in verse 15, if you jump down, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, I'm telling you, the Word of God, I'm going to leave that verse up there for a while, because the Word of God is for examples that Jesus has done that we would follow after. And you say, well, Ron, this morning, how in this here feet washing, we practice feet washing. But what I want to do is take it to another level here today. And as we think about it today of what God has for us and how he wants to, through this here, you think about it from the very beginning. It says, and it was before the Passover feast that Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now, having loved his own who was in the world, he now showed the full extent of his love. The full extent of his love. Now, I'm telling you, when you show the full extent of your love, how many of you know that's extraordinary? Amen? That's extraordinary when you show the full extent of your love. I mean, you have to go out of the way. Mark, I pick on you because I know you by name, all right? Don't be offended by it. I know you won't. But I know that there's different times for your wife. You love her dearly, I'm sure, right? Thank you. I'm glad you agree. how many of you know that, you know, when you don't just, there's days that you may take her out for a special meal or something of that because you want to show, she knows you love her, amen? But you do extraordinary things through your relationship so that she understands in a greater way, amen? It penetrates. It's even a greater way. You buy her flowers. You buy, you know, these things. And guys, take heed. These are some things you need to remember. All right, you got some young ladies sitting by you. They like flowers, and they like to go to nice restaurants. They don't want you to, I mean, I'm telling you, don't take them to McDonald's, please. They want to go somewhere, you know? And so think about these things. It's for the fact that he wants to do extraordinary things through us. And that's what he did here. He says he showed the full extent of his love. And that's what I want to look at here this morning is who is in your world. At that given moment, of course, this is the Passover feast, and they did this year after year, celebrated because they came from a victory of being, and I can't go into detail, but because they had won a battle years before that, and because of that, they were celebrating, and it is year after year, and so think about it for us, in Jesus' time, at this very given moment, his disciples were in his world. At that given moment, we know that his disciples, he had sat down with them to eat, and how they were in his world at that given moment, and how many times that we, as fathers especially, but all of us here this morning, who did God put in your world? Who did he put in your world? Who does he want you to show the full extent of your love to? Yeah, we can think of relationships. We can think of those things, but how about the person that works with you? How about the person that that you see at the grocery store, that's your neighbor that God has put in your world at that given time? He wants you to show the full extent of his love through you. Amen? Not just a hello, good morning, not that type of thing, but he wants you to do something extraordinary for them, and that's a showing his love through you. Now, we can think of different illustrations, and one of them I had to think of, and Robin may even remember this. She's not going to like me picking on her either, but anyway, I think she's forgiving, but I had to think of, you know, I don't know, do you remember the guy called Maurice in Barnwell, South Carolina? And of course, you only have to know Maurice. Maurice was a fellow that would come, and he was a man, okay? He was, when I say he was a man, he was a male person, right? But he would come to the shop where I worked, and I mean, he would carry a purse, he would wear a skirt, he would have his hair all done up. I mean, he was decked out, all right? But he was just a little too decked out for a man, all right? You know, if he was a female, it would have been all just okay, but he happened not to be a female. But he wanted to be because there was something that he believed, and we don't have time to go into there, but I'm telling you, at a very young age, his mother always wanted to have a daughter and didn't have none, and would dress him as a girl when he was little, and he was old enough to remember some of these things. And so for her approval, as he was growing up, he always wanted to be a girl for the approval of his mother, okay? He didn't know who his father was, but for his mother, and this is a message in itself, but we won't go there. But think of Maurice and how God put Maurice in my world. And how many of you know that it was many times that Maurice would be, it was just extremely embarrassing. How many of you know when he came to the shop and he wanted to hang around, and he knew scripture inside and out. He grew up in church. He'd been to many churches, but he knew it inside and out. And he would talk scripture with us, but we knew that he was not living a godly life. I mean, it was pretty obvious, amen? And how many of you know that, you know, when we would go to Walmart, of all places, and I would be walking into Walmart, and we lived in a small town, and that's about the biggest shopping center they had was a Walmart. So I walked in there because I was a mechanic. I did a lot of work on a lot of the vehicles in that town, so many, many people knew me in that little town. And so when I would walk in, I'd always see people that I knew. Well, how many of you know I walk in, and here all the way over down on aisle 14, and I'm coming in on aisle 1, Maurice sees me, and he's like, "Hey, Ron, how are you?" How many of you know I wanted to crawl in a hole, right? How many of you know God put Maurice in my world? How many of you know that if I ignored him, he would keep hollering and say, "Please don't ignore me, Ron. You know me." And these things would happen because he wanted to be accepted. Amen? Now think about it. It's hard for me to share this story because I totally, totally failed. I totally blew it. I share with you this morning, I totally blew it as far as a person could blow it. He embarrassed me so many times, and me as a Christian should still respect him out of love because he is a person in the eyes of God. God loved him, not for his actions and the way he was living, but God loved him. And he would come by, and we would do crazy things, just flatten his tire before he leaves, and just things like that. That it was just things that we would do that I won't even share here this morning as a Christian should be far from even doing. And I repented of that, but I'm sharing this with you this morning. It's for the fact that there was something that attracted him, not physically, I know. Yes, he dressed like a man. I mean, dressed like a woman, and he was a man. But it wasn't something that he was attracted to me as a person. He was attracted to me because he seen the life of Christ within me. And he did not know how to go after that. Obviously, he wanted to be a part of that and did not know that he needed to change because of that. And he came in one day. He came in one day to the shop. And as he came in, he walked through the door and just his presence as he walked in, he looked a total different person. He was still Maurice, but he looked totally different. And I just began to weep because as God's like, "This man has changed. I put him in your world that I could share love through you, but you blew it. I had someone else do it for you." And I just began to weep. And as I wept and he came in, I says, "Maurice, you're a changed man." And he says, "Ron, Jesus came into my life. I am transformed. I am righteous in the eyes of God. I am righteous." And we began to dialogue there. And I remember going home and thinking about this. Matter of fact, that day he invited me to a revival. He says, "Ron, I don't want to go to revivals with me. We're having revivals at our church." And he says, "I'd like for you to come with me." And I'm like, "Yes, this would be great." And so I went with Maurice. We met him at this church. And I remember it. I'll never forget it. We set up on the third pew of the revival there. And it was at this church. And just the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And it was just a wonderful time. But the reason I share this with you, God put Maurice in my world. He put him in my world. How did I respond to that?
And that's a challenge. One of the challenges I want to leave you with is for the fact that don't take by chance for the fact that the people that God puts around you. I mean, some people he puts around you irritates you, right? You're like, well, Ron, you're just a little too bold there. I mean, we don't talk like that up here. But I'm telling you, some people around you that you're just like, man, we just like to avoid them, try to go the other direction, try to go around. I mean, he's just irritable. They're just nagging. They're just whatever. And you always hear all their problems. You hear all these things. They call me on the phone. I have caller ID, and I don't even answer the phone because I know they're going to take up an hour of my time. And the only thing it's going to be is yap, 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 yap. It's nothing going to be fruitful of it, and they don't need to waste my time. I have greater things to do. God put them in your world. He put them in your world just as he did the disciples. Now, let's continue on here. The blessing was of seeing Maurice, his life changed. But God spoke to my heart about that. Says, don't allow. In other words, God didn't come with me a whip and says, you just blew it. It's over for you. He says, now look, this is an opportunity. Don't allow me next time to use you. And how many of you know I want to be that extraordinary person, to be that person that God wants to use? Then it says the evening meal was served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, think about it here today. Right away, we think of Judas. I mean, he was just a bad apple, all right? I mean, goodness, why was he a disciple? I'm telling you what, Judas, I can see that so many times, even in my life, of how I allow the enemy to rise up within me since I have been a Christian. He has rose up within me, and I was a Judas. I'm telling you here today that every one of us, even though our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there are things that come within our lives, and if we do not allow God to be extraordinary through us, if we're going to be ordinary, I can promise you there are going to be some spirits that are going to rise up within us, even as Christians, and even as a body of the believers, and all these here things, if we do not allow God to be extraordinary through us, and this is what happened with Judas. There's no doubt in my mind that he loved the Lord and he wanted to walk with the Lord, but because of greed, he accepted the money that was going to betray Jesus. And then it says here, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. I guess I could just back up to that. Verse 3, wasn't it? The evening meal was served, yes. And then it says, so he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around him. Now listen, Jesus had to do something extraordinary here. It's for the fact, first of all, he took effort, right? He had to get up out of his chair, and he already knew that Judas was going to betray him. He already knew that, but guess what he did? He stood up anyway because he loved Judas. And he says he took off his towel, he took off his outer clothing, his little garment, and he wrapped a towel around him. What did he do next? After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that wrapped around him. Think about it this morning. As God has spoken to your heart about who's in your world, you know, even as you already know this person, for my life, it was forgiveness. For my life, God spoke to me the other day, I want to say the other day, a while back, when I shared this message, where it was so dear to my heart, where it was just piercing, is for the fact that he says, you know, your family, your wife needs to know, Ron, that she is your wife forever to be, but she needs to know the fact that even when she makes a mistake, that you're going to love her anyway. You're going to love her anyway. She needs to hear that. You say, well, she knows that. No. She needs to verbally hear that. And that day at the church, God was asking me to have my family sit on the front row and literally, physically, have them sit here and wash each of my children's feet. And then, you know, I cannot express to you, because God has put my family in my world. Fathers, your world is your family. Your world is your family. Your wife and your children is your world. Yes, it will spread out from there, but if it doesn't happen in your world, in your family, then don't expect extraordinary things to happen on the outside. It begins in your family, your world. And think about it. The blessing was to kneel before my wife and say, honey, you know, I know we're not going to always agree on things. I know that there's going to be something said that is not going to excite me in any kind of way, but I want to let you know, because you're my wife, I will always love you, and I forgive you in advance. See, this is what Jesus is. This is where it hit home for me. It's for the fact Jesus forgave Judas in advance for what was going to happen in his life. Think about it. He already knew what Judas was going to do. He didn't wait till after he was betrayed and said, Judas, I forgive you. No, at the very moment, Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed, and he still chose to wash his feet and say, Judas, I love you, even though you're going to betray me. Now think about it. Kneeling before my children and telling Roxy, says, honey, you know, there's going to be choices you make as you grow up as a teenager. I'm going to be walking with you. I'm going to walk by your side. But honey, did you know that even no matter what choice you make, I don't care what choice you make, honey, I want to let you know, because you're my daughter, Daddy loves you. And Daddy will always love you. I don't care what choice you make. And then to kneel before my son and do the same. I'm telling you here today, something happened with us as a family when Dad chose to let them know verbally that no matter what happens, they're going to always be loved by their dad. And I'm telling you, this is what Jesus did for every one of us. He knew that we're going to betray him, but he still died for us. We shared that in the very first part of the message here, and this is what I want to close with here today. It's for the fact of seeing who is in your world and choosing to. You know, there's going to be times you're going to have to choose to. I don't know how your relationship is with your dad and with your mother and that type of thing, but it's important that you verbally share with them, because they are your parents, because they are your wife and your children, that you love them because that's who God has put in around you. You don't say it in that way. But I'm telling you this morning, something powerful happened. And it was after sharing that message that morning at the church there, the pastor, I talked to him beforehand because I knew, I just wanted to make sure he approved what was going to happen that day. And he was okay with it. And he says, I'm going to bring extra basins. And as I was washing my family's feet, he asked the church, he says, you know, church, there's people here in the church that you have been going through a really low time in their lives. And every one of you know it. But how many of you are willing to go and tap them on the shoulder and says, I want to wash your feet today, because I know you're going through a rough time. I know that whatever happened in your life, you just lost your husband, or you're just going through a divorce, or whatever it may be going on, but I want to let you know that I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you. And I'm telling you, when that happened, it was just a wonderful thing that happened that day, not only in my life, but because I let God be extraordinary through me. How many of you know I argued with God until 4 o'clock that morning? Because I was like, I'm not going to wash my children's feet. I can do that at home, Mark. I don't need to do it in front of a whole church. And God was like, no. I want you to do it here. And because I obeyed, he did something extraordinary through the congregation. You see what I'm saying? See, many times we, as fathers or as families or whatever, we're just like, you ask for forgiveness, you do whatever, and it's just between us. But we don't include the body. And when we include the body as a family, that's what brings closeness, and that's what brings freedom, because there'll be others likewise that want to do the same. Now in closing here, it says, I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done. Now it may not be washing your dad's feet, your whoever. It may not be in that way. That's just one illustration. It's for the fact that I remember, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 weeks later, maybe a month later. And as my wife and I were having our devotions, and as she sat down there in the living room and before we were having our devotions, she says, honey, you know, you washed my feet the other day. And you know, honey, can I tonight wash your feet? And y'all don't understand what that did for our marriage. It's for the fact that, yes, you don't know who's standing up here. You only know who I am, but you don't live with me, okay? And there's many times my family has to ask for forgiveness. There's many times I have to ask, I have to ask them for forgiveness. Because of being the man that I am and how God has continued cleaning up my life and through this here process, there's many times I have to kneel before my children and say, honey or son, please, can you forgive me? Daddy just blew it today. But for my wife, to choose to kneel before me and says, honey, I want to wash your feet. And as she washed my feet, as I just wept, of just knowing, and there was something bonding that happened. And I share that with you here this morning is for the fact that God may be asking you to do the same. God may be asking you, as fathers, your children need to know that no matter what choice they make, see, we like to, you know, if you do this, your reward is this. You know, if you do, we do that as already starting as young children. You know, you get a piece of candy, you put your shoes away, you do this, you do that. And as they get older, they're in their teens or wherever, they need to know that daddy is going to walk with them regardless of the choice that they make. Because God put them in your world for you to love them unconditionally. Unconditionally. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He did it for each and every one of us. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we just come to you. Lord, we're just grateful that we have your word and how your word just continues bringing us life. And Lord, your word, as it says in John, it sanctifies us. And Lord, the less of us, the more of you. And Lord, the more of you, the more excited we get. And Lord, it's refreshing that you have given us the word and the Holy Spirit that lives within each one of us to guide us. And Lord, not only to guide us, but to give us the strength that we need. And Lord, that we can live as saints. Lord, I just pray that today anyone that's here among us that has felt defeated this past week, that they just felt that they have blown it, that they have felt that they'll never come up to the expectations maybe of their wife, maybe not come up to the expectations of their husband, or maybe not children or young people may say, you know, I'll never come up to the expectations of my parents. And because of that, we're standing outside the White House and we're trying to do things and we try to do this and we try to do that and that they would notice so that we would be accepted when in all reality, we ought to be in the White House. And Lord, I pray that it begins with us fathers here this morning. It begins with us as leaders here this morning in my role, Lord, as sharing the gospel as an evangelist. Lord, it begins with us, with me. It begins with each one in leadership. It begins in all of us that we evaluate. Says, Lord, who did you put in my world to show unconditional love? Unconditional love as you did, Jesus. And Lord, how this is demonstrated, I don't know. But the spirit that lives within each father here, you will show them and you will guide them. And you're going to ask them of something, not that it's going to be ordinary, because you are extraordinary. And you're going to ask them, just as he did for me, is to wash my family's feet. Lord, it may not be washing our family's feet. It may be something totally different. It may be just for the fact that we need to kneel before our family and let them know that no matter what they face in the years to come, I don't care if they're 4 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old, they want to hear the words of their father, I love you and I'm going to walk with you no matter what choices you make because you are my son. And if it's our daughters, to kneel before them says, honey, you're beautiful and I love you and I want to walk with you and I want to make sure that you have the greatest husband that ever existed on planet Earth. And I want to protect you so that you will have the very best. Our daughters need to hear that. Lord, thank you for this time you have given us this morning with your heads bowed. I think it's just appropriate this morning for anyone that's in the audience here this morning that just want to say, you know, God spoke to my heart and he's asking me to do something. It may be my girlfriend. It may be my boss, to let him know that, yes, boss, because you're my boss, I haven't been giving my best. But I want to let you know today, I want to start doing my best. I don't want to just do it for a paycheck. Because God has put me there, I want to be an extraordinary employee for you. It may be that. It may be for children as you're doing your schoolwork, to your teacher. Maybe a teacher that you're not that you don't connect very well with. But because God has given her as your teacher, or him as your teacher, that you'll share with him tomorrow, I want to let you know, teacher, I thank you for teaching me. So it's for all ages here today. If God spoke to your heart and asking you to do something extraordinary, I just want you to raise your hand up and down, just up and down. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we come before you. Lord, the beauty of your Spirit that draws men to you, men and ladies and children. Lord, it's only your Spirit that draws. And Lord, the beauty of you want to use our experiences, Lord. You want us to be transparent enough to share our faults and our failures, but to be able to brag on you, Jesus, of our deliverance. Lord, we're here, Lord, through deliverance, not from power to control our issues, but you have come to give us power to be delivered from our issues, Lord. And as my grandpa says, we all have issues. We always will have issues, but how do we come before you daily at the foot of the cross and allow you to work through them and cleanse us and sanctify us? Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one today that raised their hand and recognizing, Lord, that you spoke to their hearts. And Lord, it says the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to know you. Lord, it's no doubt in my mind that, Lord, they are rejoicing today when we as saints recognize areas that you want to do even a greater thing within our lives. There's no doubt in my mind the rejoicing is happening just for Life Ministries right here, Life Church here, Lord. I bless them today. I pray your anointing to fall upon them. Lord, I pray for the leadership. I pray for the men, the fathers here today, Lord. The roles that they play, we are called priests, Lord. I pray that we would follow through on that and that we would want to and ask you, Lord, how can I be an extraordinary dad? How can I be an extraordinary dad? And the only way it is if we ask you, Lord. It's not money. It's not that we can buy them a bigger toy. It's not that we can give them all these things. But Lord, it's strictly by being a saint of yours and asking you to go before us and ask of extraordinary things to happen through us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.